Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege we have to come together. Lord, that you might speak to us by your word. Father, we just ask that you would just have your way. Lord, open our hearts. Lord, give us revelation, Lord, as we look into the word. Give us, Lord, of the promises. Lord, of the mysteries that were unfolded in this last day. May you forgive us our shortcomings. Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for every day, every hour, for every mystery, Lord, for every revelation, Lord, for every blessing, Lord, that you bestow upon us day by day. Lord, may you bless those here, those that are not here. Lord, as we just commit each one to you, as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. We greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here. And we just thank him so much for his blessings, for his mercy and grace. And so we're in the message this morning we're in is in the message Proving His Word. And I was looking for a quote in this message on Wednesday. I was going to add into Wednesday's message. And then there was a lot here. And the first part of this is Brother Branham just talking about the healings and the things, the discernment, the things that happened in Jesus' ministry. And he's identifying what God was doing, what Jesus was doing was that he was proving his word. And so everything that was happening, he was proving his word. And then Brother Branham points out that the people that he was proving his word to was that group that had representation. That was that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. And so it was striking to me. And so he gives a few stories here, or different examples. And then he goes to the daughter of Jairus, and he spends a bit of time on that, and I've chopped it up a little bit because I'm trying to cut out a lot of it, so I still have a lot of reading, and even though I cut out a lot of it, but he's bringing it to a point. And so what seems to be just a really simple little thing that he's talking about in the discernment and the healings and the raising of the dead on the natural side for the natural man, is he brings it to the spiritual and brings it into that predestinated seed, in which is what God's intended purpose is for the divine interpreter of the word, and that's his prophets. So in paragraph 164, I'm going to start, and this is in the message Proving His Word in Jeffersonville in 1964. Brother Ben, he said, notice he was the word, Hebrews 4:12. And if you want to put this down, Hebrews 4:12, it said the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Is that right? A discerner to prove that he was the word. What did he do? Peter came to Jesus, and as soon as he come to him, he said, your name is Simon, and you are the son of Jonas. Uneducated, no degree behind him. He had nothing but just a common fisherman, no education. And the Bible said he was ignorant and unlearned. See, but he became the bishop of the church, which is an interesting statement there for the prophet to make. But in the light of the things he said about bishops, but he was the leader there. And I think that's the point that he's trying to make, and that he came with no education. The scripture plainly says they were ignorant, unlearned. They couldn't write, they couldn't read, they couldn't do those things. And I know in India, Brother Benjamin has taken me to the coast there many times, to those places where their living is to fish off the ocean. And if the fish are biting, their life is good. And if they're not biting, life is hard. And a lot of those men, they just, because they're in the water all the time, they don't wear much clothes. just something to cover them. And they live in that, and they know the sea. They know so much about those things. But yet, when it comes to education, they don't. And so God is the one who is in charge. He's the one who brings those things. He's the one who chooses. He's the one who determines. Rather, this one's going to be a seed. He could take Paul, who was highly educated. He could take Peter, which had no education. And he could express himself in the way that he wanted to do. And that's what he's doing with his bride, with his people. He's expressing himself in each one, and he's proving his word. And he's gonna say that over and over here as we go along. See, why? Jesus told him who he was. See, what his name was, what his Father's name was, and he knew that that was the word, because the Bible said, "The Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me." And that had to be the prophet. And there was no prophets promised after Malachi to the Messiah. 400 years without a prophet. And here was a man standing there confirming or proving his word to this man was predestinated to life. He was proving his word to a man who was predestinated to eternal life. And how did he know? He was God. He was the Word. He knew who was and he knew who wasn't. And when he came to reveal himself, when he came to discern the secrets of the heart, who was he doing it to? He was doing it to the predestinated seed. He was doing it to the ones that were called before the foundation of the world. Your name is Simon, see, and you're the son of Jonas, and from henceforth you'll be called Peter. Think of it. Who did he prove it to? See, why didn't he prove that word to Caiaphas? See, he was God. He knew Caiaphas would never believe it. But this man was ordained to life. He knew it right then. With no education, he couldn't sign his name, none of that. But yet this man was able to recognize the presence of God. This man was able to listen to the words of Jesus Christ, discerning his life, his name, his Father's name, and those things, discerning the hearts and the thoughts and intents of the heart. He was discerning that. And from that, Peter was able to recognize the presence of God. Why? Because he was ordained to eternal life. One time standing in the midst, where another man a few days later went and got a buddy around the mountain. And you remember Philip found Nathanael. See, he was standing there amongst and come up to where Jesus was. And Jesus looked around. He was God. He had discernment. That showed that, see, making the word right, he proved the word. Every time he's revealing the secret, he's proving the word. He's proving what those prophets back there had said he would do. He was proving the gift that those prophets said would come upon the earth. Some of them would say, you know, that man's the word. Nonsense, them priests said. That guy ain't. No, that ain't the word. Some of them are saying, this is the word. This is the scripture for this day. Others are saying, no, it's not the scripture for this day. Some are saying it's the word. Some are saying it's not the word. Said, you know what the scripture says. The Lord our God shall raise up a prophet like unto Moses. And that's him. Listen to him. And he said, behold, an Israelite in whom there's no guile. And this fellow said, Rabbi, when did you know me? And he said, before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. He knowed who would believe it. And he said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. That's the conclusion he got from one simple statement, from one simple remark. That's is the conclusion he came to, that this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. See how simple that was? You see how much time that took? It took one simple statement, and it was a finished work. It was done. He was sold. There was never no turning back, no changing his mind. No, everything was right there. He had it. He was done. It was fixed. Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, you are the Word. And Jesus proved he was the Word by the Word. Amen. And notice the little woman at the well. See, now this is his third one already now. Notice the little woman at the well, she was looking for a Messiah. And she had nothing to do with their big crowds and denominations and so forth they had in them days. She was looking for the Word. Isn't that something? She was looking for the Word. She wasn't looking for denominationalism. She wasn't looking to please men. She wasn't looking for any of that. So my daughter asked me a while ago, Daddy, what's a denomination? What is a denomination? She was asking me if somebody was a Christian. And I said, well, I think they are. I think they're a denominational Christian. And so she said, what's a denomination? I said, there's many different churches. There's many different groups. And I said, every group, they have their name. They have their schools. They have their ministers. Those ministers are trained what they believe. And what they believe is what they preach in their churches. And I said, it's an organized group that believes a certain thing. And they give themselves a name. And that's it. I said, we have it today. Now today we have thousands. In Jesus' day, we know there was at least a half a dozen there. No doubt there was many more, but the big ones were named. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, Herodians, many different ones that were there. And each group had their different doctrine. And they all believed the same message. And so we can talk about it freely because it's right there in the Scripture. It's right there in the Scripture, and we know the Scripture even tells us their doctrinal differences. One believed in angels and one didn't. One believed in the resurrection and another one didn't. They had different ideas, and they all had the same Scripture. And so you wonder, how could they have not believed those basic, to us as basic things? But we have the same thing today. We have disagreements on the resurrection. We have disagreements on the rapture. We have disagreements on every subject that there is here. There's disagreements on every bit of it. And claiming the same message and the same prophet and the same Bible and the same everything. And it's just there. She said, now wait a minute. He's probably trying to get fresh with me. He might have thought in heart, because she was marked a woman of ill fame, and said, why do you ask me a question like that? We got segregation here. You're a Jew. We're Samaritans. See, it's not customary. It's not right for you to ask me like that. And he said, woman, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for a drink. And you can tell I'm jumping down. I made the words I'm not going to read a little bit smaller, but I didn't want to take them out. Paragraph 176 said, well, the water that I give you would be springs of water, geysers, gushing up into eternal life and in your soul. She said, now, wait a minute. You being a Jew, now you Jews, you mean to tell me that you're greater than our father Jacob who dug this well? You know, those men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were revered because God, their God, had proven that he was with them. Their God had proven the word of God in their life. And so when people didn't have a name for God, they didn't know what to call him. They said the God of Abraham or the God of Isaac or the God of Jacob. They identified him by that man where God was dwelling and God was moving. The presence of God was working in that person, in the life of that person. That's where he was proving himself. And the people around him could see him. That's the reason Abraham could lie and the king had to repent. The king had to repent and make it right because that was God's prophet. Amen. That was his man. This is brought up several times, and it's always been striking to me. And when she brings up that fact, are you greater than Jacob? Are you greater than our father Jacob who dug this well? Are you greater than him? Because he was a great man. He was the closest man to God that there was. See? And he just looked like an ordinary man. Jesus did just look like an ordinary man. Said, we worship in this mountain. And you say, at Jerusalem. He said, salvation is of the Jews. Woman, We know what we're talking about. We know what we worship. He said, you worship, you don't know what. A Jew's supposed to know the word. See, how it was supposed to be. But see, he was watching now. Why? He was going to do something. That's what he's working his way into something. He wants to get her. He wants to catch her. And he's going to catch her. What's he going to do? He's going to prove his word. See? He said, by the way, go get your husband and come here. And she said, I don't have any husband. Why? He said, you've told the truth, see, because you've had five, and the one that you have is not your husband. See, watch. Something happened, see. Something took life. Notice, when he showed her the sign, just like the other ones, called him the Son of God, called him the Messiah, identified, as soon as he identified with the word, they identified with him. They identified that they had life. And this is what she's doing. As soon as she's seen the sign, then she identified with life. Amen. See, something happened. Something took life. Now, if it hadn't have been there to begin with, if she hadn't had a representation from predestination, it had never took a hold. She would have been the same as the priest. She'd have done the same thing. She'd have called it the devil. She'd have called it any kind of thing. But she didn't, because something was quickened. There was something there that was quickened when the word was proven to her. And that's who God is proving it to. He's proving it to his predestinated seed. That's the ones he's seeking out. That's the ones that he's looking for redemption. That's the one he's going after every time to prove the word. Paragraph 180, there stood priests there, said, this man is Beelzebub. See, no representation. Eternal life, you always was, see. You have eternal life. There's only one form of it, that's God. You were his attribute. He thought of you and knowed you before the foundation of the world in his mind, see. Think, that's what this woman had in her. That's what Philip had. That's what Nathaniel had. That's what Peter had and his brother had. And every one of them, that's what they had. They had something in there that when the word was spoken, then they heard it. And they heard it with the spiritual ear. Autumn and I was talking earlier back here, and I got preaching to her, I was getting ready, and she come and started talking to me. And we were talking about the same thing, and just getting on it, and said, faith cometh by hearing. I asked her, I said, what do you pray for more than anything else? And she said, revelation. I said, in this day and hour, I said, there's so much division, there's so much differences, there's so much arguing, there's so much everything, that Satan, and it's Satan that's doing it. It's Satan's goal is to divide. That's what Satan's goal is, to divide. And it's just there, and it's going to be there, and the only ones who can stop it or avoid it is the sons of God. Amen. They're the only ones, because they're the ones who are going to stand on the word. They're going to come with the right spirit and the right attitude, and when they have a disagreement, they're not going to destroy one another, and they're not going to separate from one another. They can have their disagreements, and they can still love one another, because that's the word. Yeah. That's the word. And so they're going to manifest the word. That's what they do. And they can't do anything else, because there is something that has a hold of them that they can't shake off, and they don't want to shake it off. Sometimes the flesh don't like it, but they cannot get out from under it, because the presence of God, the hand of God, is on them and it's holding them, and it's going to bring them God's way. And so, and he's going to say that when we get to Jairus here, because he said he was forced to come and bow down. He was forced to accept this thing when he knew he was a priest. So you knew he was on the other side. So he knew what it would cost him if he came and asked Jesus anything. He knew what the price would be. And people know what the price is today. That's why they don't want to be identified. That's why they want to stay out. They want to stay back a little ways and say, well, yeah, I believe that. I had that one time when I went to Uganda. And as a matter of fact, Brother Josh was with me. And there was like 38 ministers there. And they were all against marriage and divorce. And they wouldn't let me answer one question before three more of them was hollering at me something else. And I was alone. I was alone. And so I tried my best to try to help them, to let them see it, but they didn't want it. They didn't want it. They wanted to argue it. And so you can't, if they're not even willing to let you bring what the prophet said, there's no desire there. Right. If faith comes by hearing, you got to hear it. Amen. And if you're going to fight it before it can even be spoken, then there's something wrong. Right. There's something wrong there. And it's, let me move on here. We got plenty right here without getting out there. She looked around. What a sinful shape she was in. She was in a sinful shape. She was in a bad shape. But she didn't mix up with those denominations. She didn't mix up with that spiritual stuff. She didn't want that. Although her natural life was messed up. But yet, there was something in her that was driving her in the way that God wanted her to go. See? He couldn't get that priest because the priest was an educated scholar. A theologian in the word. But no representation in heaven, see? He wasn't in God's thinking at all. But this woman was. Now, the priest had the education. He had the theology. He had the intellect. He had the ability to quote the scripture. Scripture after scripture. He had the ability to do that. Just if a person could do it today in the message. If he could quote all of it, know where every quote was at, be able to put it all together just beautifully. Yet, there was no representation. If there's no representation, then all of that is doing no good. And then here's a woman, her life completely messed up. Completely messed up, but she had representation. Praise be to God.
That's right.
Praise be to God. You know what that means? It means that one of them who knew the Word of God with no representation would face every one of his sins. And he had them. And another one here who was full of sin but had representation and no spiritual understanding, she would stand before God with no sin.
That's right.
No sin whatsoever.
Amen.
That is not man's doing. That's not the church's doing.
That's right.
That's God's doing.
Yes.
God did that. God did that. He paid the price for it on Calvary.
Amen.
And he set his people free from sin. There is no sin. There is no sin in the bride. There's no sin to a predestinated seed. There's none. And if anybody tries to put some on you, then just tell them to get behind, because that's the devil. That's the devil, and there is no sin in the bride whatsoever. And when the Messiah comes, he's going to be the Word, see? He's going to know the secrets of the heart. He's going to do the same thing. And Jesus said, I am he. I am he. That seed was already bubbling. That seed was already quickening. What did he do? What would he do? He was proving his word. Proving his position. Proving what he was. That's what Jesus was doing. That's what God sent him to do. And he sent him to prove it to the elect, to the predestinated seed, so that they would recognize the presence of God, and then that seed would be quickened to life. And then what was it going to do? It was going to prove the word in them. The same thing that was happening through him, he was proving what the prophets had said he would do. And now the people are going to prove to the world what God said they would do. The same message that was coming forth was going to be manifested in those believers of that day. Praise be to God. See, He was proving his word, proving his position, proving what he was. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and God is the word. All right? He calmed the winds and the waves to prove Isaiah's prophecy. He shall be called the mighty God, the everlasting Father. See? See, he also multiplied bread and fishes. This virgin-born son, what was it? To prove the word. All scripture has to be fulfilled. He proved the word, saying he was Jehovah made manifest. That's right. He proved the word. He proved all the scriptures that was promised for that day. He proved every one of them. He couldn't do anything else that. He proved the word by saying he was Jehovah made manifest. He was the beginning of the creation of God. God in creation, God with a little part of the creation. Here that God was living in himself. He was the beginning of that creation of God. From him begets many sons. Note, he also multiplied the fishes. He is the word and the proof of the word. Is that right? He's the word and he's the proof of the word. He's the word coming to manifestation because the Spirit is quickening it. And it's quickening it in the elect of every age. It's doing the same thing. And they're hearing it. They're seeing it. They're standing in the presence of it. Listen close. Jairus was a priest, a borderline believer. How about that? But he wanted to believe Jesus, but he hated to turn loose of his church because they had said, anybody that believes on him is going to be put out of the church. Now, he was a priest, so he was getting a check. So he's getting a check. He didn't want to lose the check. Brother Branham said it came on Sunday or Monday and said if he joined up with this group, said then his check was going to go away. He couldn't afford to lose that. And so he didn't want to be identified, although there was something there. There was something there that wouldn't leave him alone. And that's the way it is with the predestinated seed. It won't leave you alone. See, I believe that Jesus knew that when he crossed the sea because he knew all things. Oh, yeah. His girl got real sick and the doctors had given her up, said she's laying at the point of death. See, and God forces the issue. Time comes for action. What does he do? He forces the issue. Now, one, you can look at it one way and you can say, well, it was his heart. It was his daughter. It was the one place that God could use to force him to make a decision in the right way. Okay? But it wasn't just that. That's the natural side of it. That's that natural love. That's that natural side of emotion and love for your family, for your children. No doubt that was working on him because that's what he wanted. But there was another thing that was working, and that was that predestinated seed. Amen. And that's the thing. His ego might could have been so big that he could have not went even though his daughter was dying. His ego, men's egos get that big. They get that big till they can just leave off everything else and be so stubborn until they'll let it all go. But when it's the predestinated seed, you're not in control anymore. Amen. You can do that when it's on the natural side, but you can't do it when God is in control. When God has got a predestinated seed in there that is turning and that is working and that God is quickening that seed to bring it to manifestation. No, then it's forced. God's forcing that issue then. See? And he come, and he didn't care what the rest of them said, right out publicly. He come, and he fell down by Jesus' feet. Now here, the very thing that he was avoiding doing, now he's just done it. He's done it. He's just sprawled out there right on the ground, didn't come up dignified. And he was an educated scholar. He was a priest. He was educated. He was a theologian. He knew all of that. And so he had status. But he didn't come with his status. He didn't come and try to do it in private. He come and he fell down before him. That predestinated seed was working. That seed was working. paragraph 191. Now notice, he went over there and he couldn't hardly do it. See? But the time come where he was forced to do it. He had to do it, see? And here he went and got Jesus right out before all of them and fell down at his feet. And he said, Master, Master. And you know what that is. That's rulership. That's ownership. Huh? He done surrendered. He done surrendered. He already heard enough stories. He already knew that everything he had need of was in this man. Everything that he had need of was here. He said, I'll go. And he started on. And after he had been gone, this is paragraph 194, after being gone for several hours, here come a man running, as the custom was there, ashes on top of his head, said, don't trouble the man. Your daughter died. She's already dead. They're already fixed her and laid her out. See? And he said, didn't I tell you now? What he done there, he had promised him, and now he's got to prove it. He's going to prove now. He already promised him it's going to be okay. Right? But now she's dead. So now it's not that I'm going to go heal your daughter now. So how many times? See, for Jesus, this was no problem because he already seen it done. But when it happens to us and we're witnessing or we're talking to somebody or we have a need of some kind, we don't see the vision that's going to show us the end game. He's seen the end game. He already knew. But sometime for us, it's not like that. But we got to have that same faith. That faith has got to hold right there.
Yes, sir.
Just like he was getting this one to hold his faith right there. We got the same promise. We got the same word. We got the same everything. He's proven himself in this day. He's proven the word. He's proven the revelation. He told that prophet, he said, if you can just get them to believe, nothing will stand in your way. Not even cancer. Nothing will stand in your way. I told you, if just only believe and you'll see the glory of God. He knowed what he was doing. He said he'd done nothing till the Father showed him first. See? John 5:19. I only do what the Father shows me. So he showed him what was going to happen. So when he got into the house, everybody, oh, Jairus, your little girl's dead. Oh, Father Jairus, oh, we're so sorry for you, everything. He said, oh, keep still. You make too much noise. Wait, why all this tumult? Why around here you're doing? You see, they're hollering and screaming. The girl's not dead. She's asleep. She's just asleep. Think about that. Then what did they do? When they heard him say that she wasn't dead, they laughed him to scorn. In other words, they booed him. Boo. Why you? Why you false prophet? Why you deceiver of man? The girl's dead. The doctor said she was. We've embalmed her. We've laid her out. She's laying there. She's dead. They laughed. Now, Jairus, you've been talking about him. Now, what about it? Now, the test is, are you going to believe that this is the Messiah now? After he makes an unscientific statement like that. After he makes a statement like that, that is beyond comprehension to the people. They hadn't had that. They hadn't had that realization. Even through the ages, that hasn't been reality. And it should be reality now. In this day and age, under this message and under this messenger, it should be reality that a Christian cannot die.
Amen.
They cannot die. This flesh, sure. But not that life inside.
Amen.
Not that predestinated seed. Not that soul of God. No, you cannot die. That's why you have a body waiting for you when this flesh passes on. Yeah, this flesh will die. but you won't. He said, Jairus, if you will only believe me, you'll see the glory of God. Now that's his word, and he's got to prove that. See, paragraph 204. So now what did he do? He had already said she was asleep. He had to prove his word. Amen? He's going to have to prove that she's only asleep. He's going to prove it by waking her up. That's what he's going to do. He's going to prove the word. And when he's proving this word, he's proving what those prophets said he would do. He's proving. He couldn't do it before that bunch, so he said, put them all out. I can see him look around to Jairus and say, you still believe? Yes, Lord. You and the wife, come here. Peter, James, John, you come with me. They walked over there and called this word. And I already forgot how to pronounce that. Just told me a while ago. Talitha kumi, something like that. Which means little girl, arise. And he proved his word. She was only asleep. Huh? Is that right? He proved here his word was right. Regardless of her unbelief, he still proved his word was right by waking her up. Because she said she was asleep. She was asleep. Amen. And he'll do the same. Now, here's where he's dropping in. Here's where he's dropping in. The spiritual food for us. He'll do the same someday to every true believer. For his word promised to. They that are in Christ will God bring with him. Now he's given in scripture. And I'm going to read it in just a minute. And I forgot to add it in for you. But just three or four scriptures. See, they that are in Christ. They that are in Christ will he bring with him.
That's right.
That's the ones he's going to bring. They that are in him will he bring. And I want to remind you of another statement that Brother Branham said. They said that Jesus was the fullness of the word. And said in order to be the fullness of the word, we were in him at Calvary. So in order to be the fullness,
Amen.
He couldn't have been the fullness unless we were there. Because we are part of the word. And so if he's the fullness of the word, then you had to be there. And that's why he said the bride poured out at Calvary. When that life was given out, that genes, those seeds come out of him. When they spirited him, they took the life went from him. Then the bride poured out. And so that was part of him. That was part of the word. And she's a part of that word. Think about it. Don't let that get away from you. The bride is part of the word. So much so that without her in him, he couldn't be the fullness. So now, if the fullness has come again today, the fullness has come again today, that means that they have to be here. So if he was the fullness and he has come, the scripture says that they that are in Christ will God bring with him. See, they that are in Christ. What did this little Jewish girl do? I just started to bypass the scripture here, but I'm going to keep it. I know it may be a little late, see, but we'll get to the prayer line in a few minutes. I won't see you for another week maybe, but let's wait a minute. Man shall not live by bread alone, right? See, notice, let me just push this in now to show you. Why did Jesus wake this little Hebrew maid up? See? Because he knowed she wasn't dead. Why did he wake her up? Because he knew she wasn't dead. Predestination. Just the same as it did Lazarus. All right? Lazarus wasn't dead. He was sleeping. See, perhaps there was many little maids that died the same day. He never said a word to them. He knew that this one had eternal life. See, he didn't wake the rest of them. Who did he wake? He woke the one with eternal life. He woke that predestinated seed. That's what he does every time. Paragraph 209. Notice she was only asleep. He knew the father would come. And now this little girl, see, he knew that that little Jewish maid was only asleep. See, the righteous does not die. Jesus came to redeem the righteous. And to redeem means to be brought back from where you once was. Praise be to God. He was just bringing them back. That's what he was doing. He was waking them up and bringing them back into the presence of God, back into the realization that they were sons and daughters of God. He was bringing them back by the presence of God, the word for that day. They were recognizing who they were, who he was. See, to be brought back from where you once was, see, he could not redeem the unbelievers. No matter how educated, how much doctor's degrees they had, he could not redeem them because they were not redeemable. They had to go to their destination. But in his foreknowledge, know that Lazarus was coming out of the grave. He also knew this little girl had eternal life. So she was not dead. She was only asleep. Praise God. Because he knew she had eternal life, he knew that she wasn't dead. And when our work is over on earth, if we don't live to his coming, we cannot die. We're only asleep. Amen. He proved it here. He'll prove it again. What did he do there? He was proving this very fact. He was proving the very fact that the elect don't die. He was doing it in the daughter of that priest. Amen. He was doing it, and he was proving it by waking her up. He proved the word. Though the skin worms destroy this body, yet I'll awake in his likeness. Amen. He proves all of his words. All of his words, just think of it. All of his words. And you were his word. See? He was the word, and you were a part of his word. That's the reason you're sent here, to confirm your place in life. Why are we here this morning? To confirm our place. Why do we live in this last day? To confirm our place, to confirm what part of the body that we were predestinated to make up. Amen. Amen. Now, we're not back in the feet. We weren't down there in there. No, we're all the way up in the head. We're all the way up in the top. We're a part of that. See, we didn't have no say-so in it. That's the manifestation that God ordained for you to be a part of. See, just think, all of his words, and you were his word, he was the word, and you were part of his word, and that's the reason you're sent here, to confirm your place in life. I don't think you got that, see? He is the word. Now you get it? He's pushing, he's trying. He was in the feet in Luther, in the thighs in Wesley, in the shoulders in Pentecost. You see what I mean? He is the head. And you have a part that joins that together. This hour that we're living in, see? Not the feet part, not the thigh part, not the shoulder part, but the neck part, see? Is that right? It joins to the head. That's the part of the body. And those that are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's what he's going to do. When he comes, he's going to bring them. And what are they? They're the word. Isn't that what he just said? That's what he keeps repeating. See, he said, I don't think you got that. He's the word. He's the word. And when he comes, he's bringing all of the word with him. All of the word's going to come with him. See, those that are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. So I'm going to read that. I just stuck it in here right at the last minute. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Let's just read a few verses. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus. Those that are sleeping in Him. Not those that are sleeping out of Him. Those that are in Him. See, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For I say this unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Amen. He's talking about those sleeping. Those that cannot die.
That's right.
They're going to come with Him because they're the Word. Is that right? See? You become a part of that Word. You become part of Him. And you take His name to recognize it, see? So you're placed in there, baptized into His name, into His body. See? Is that right? 1 Corinthians 12. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Not to two or three bodies. There's not a bunch of different bodies. That's why there can't be a bunch of different denominations. There's only one body. There's only one revelation. And that revelation is Him. And He's the one who gives it. He's the author and finisher of that revelation. See, by one Spirit, we're all baptized in one body. Into here, just exactly like the same position. He never changes His way. How many believes the early church is in Him? Huh? Amen. The early church is in Him. All of it is in Him. Every bit, every predestinated seed is in Him. Because every name is in the book. And He's the book. He's the book. He's all of it. He's all of it. And if you're in Him, your name is in Him, you're the Word for your day, you're in Him. You're with Him. Wherever He goes, there you are. See? How many believes that the early church is in Him? Let's see. How many believes it? How many were baptized? Or how were they baptized, huh? They were baptized into the body. See? How? All right. See, He's unchangeable. The unchangeable God. We prove that. We could stay here till midnight tonight proving that and still go on and on and on. See? Unchangeable. See? You are in Him and part of Him. Because you were a part of the thinking of Him before the foundation of the world. He called you. That's right. The Bible said that, so He, let me just stop there a minute. You are in Him and a part of Him. Don't let that go. Don't let that go. Because you were a part of His thinking before the foundation of the world. He called you. That's right. And in this day, He has called His bride. Now, I got a few places there. I'm going to try to skip a little bit of this to move on down. Let's go to paragraph 213. All He foreknew, He called. All He called, He's justified. All that He's justified, He's glorified. Your journey's finished. You're living out your part. Grace is what God did for you. Works is what you do in appreciation. Proved by His same thing. That He knowed all things. This virgin-born son, He knowed where there was some fish in the water that Peter and them had seined, right over and caught nothing. That proved His word. Is that right? He knowed all things. Now He's continuing on the same thought. God proving His word, proving His word, proving His word. He needed to pay some taxes. He knew where a coin was in the fish's mouth. And it was enough to pay for him and Peter. He knew because He was the Word. What was He doing? He was proving the Word. He was proving His presence. He was proving God. 2:17. After the third day, after His death burial, on the third day, He rose up again to prove His Word. Because the prophet said, I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Neither will I leave His soul in hell the third day before corruption could set in 72 hours. See? See, it didn't go the complete 3 days, because corruption does set in 72 hours. So he didn't go the full time, because the prophet said, but the word said, the scripture said, that I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. He proved his word.
Right.
He proved it. He healed the sick, the lame, to prove the word that Isaiah and the rest of the prophets said. He sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to prove the word. See, you want to get some of these scriptures now, Joel 2:28. He said, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and upon my handmaids and my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit. Your young man shall see visions, your old man shall dream dreams," so forth. He proved it by pouring out. Amen. He's proven it over and over and over again. Every age, he's proven it. He's proven it. See, he proved it by pouring it out, pouring out the promise. Luke 24:49, if you want to put it down. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." There it is. He done it. He sent the Spirit to continue to prove his word. But watch what he said. Did he do it? All right. He did it. He did it over and over and over and over. Dropping down to the what you see in the blue there. It taken the same Spirit that was in him to do the same work. Because what? The Spirit was coming to manifest the promised word in the future. See? He made a provision. For he knowed these things would happen. He knowed the word. So he knew that the word could not fail to manifest what was promised in the day and the hour. He knew it. Paragraph 221. "Now after 1900 years, after the church age has passed, and all the things that he prophesied of, Luther, Wesley, we just went through and seen it drawled out. The moon come down, drawled it out. The Lord drawled it on the board here for us and showed it, and come down himself and confirmed it to be right. And after 1900 years, we're at the end of the Laodicean age. He promised in Luke 17:30 that this same Son of Man," he promised it now. Remember, he promised it, and he has to prove it. If he made a promise, he has to prove that promise, "would be revealed in the days like it was in Sodom upon the earth." Did he do it? Yes, he's done it. Absolutely. He did it then. He did it again today. Does it have to come to pass? It's impossible for it not to come to pass. It's the word of God. Now remember, he come in three names. The Son of Man, a prophet. The Son of God, the Spirit. The Son of David for the millennium. But in between this conjunction, see? Now according to his own words, "in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed." Reveal himself as what? Not Son of God, Son of Man. Will reveal, see? Himself in a different way. Now, what does that make? Malachi 4. Brother Branham said this was a secret coming just in between. This a little manifestation there that was going to come forth. He was going to reveal himself again as the Son of Man. He came as the Son of Man. He came as the Son of God. And then he was to come as the Son of David. But he said there was a little secret coming right there. He was going to manifest himself again. The scripture promised it. He was going to manifest himself again as the Son of Man. As it was there, so would it be again. Malachi 4, exactly right, see? The Son of Man will reveal himself. Not in a whole big denominations and things, as we've had it through the ages, but he would manifest himself as Son of Man again to make manifest Malachi 4. See, "and in that day I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the apostolic fathers." Is that right? Away from all this denominationalism and come back to the original word again. to draw out the last day bride tree that he promised. And what did he promise to her? That in the evening time it shall be light. Not through the misty day, not through the dark ages, not through Luther, not through Wesley, but in the evening time it would be light. It would be clear. It wouldn't be cloudy. There was a great thing that was taking place in Luther's day, but it was still cloudy. It was fuzzy. It was so fuzzy, it was so cloudy, that he baptized in a Trinitarian doctrine. It's still, that's how dismal of a day that it was. And it came on some more. And it came into sanctification. Because Luther was still drinking his beer and still smoking his cigars. Huh? But yet he was the messenger to the age. But yet God was it was coming. It was building. Just as the sun's coming up in the morning on a foggy morning. It's not clear. You know, it begins to burn it off. That's what we call it here. It begins to burn it off. And when it does, it's a little by little by little. See, it's making up the body. That's right. Let me back up. Not through the misty day, it shall be light. It'll be a day that can't be called day or night. See, it's making up the body. How he's constantly referring to the body. He's constantly pointing us to the body. It was a body. Every time the word came forth, every time he was proving his word, it was building the body. It was a body that was coming forth. It was the body. It was the word of Jesus Christ. It was the word body that was coming up. And he was proving it in every age, every time. And in this day, he's proving it so much. Because now, it's a beautiful sight. Because the body is standing on its feet. And the intelligence has come to the body. So it's a finished body. See, it's making up the body. But the same head that was here in the east is here in the west again. There shall be light in the evening time. Oh my, I feel like singing a song. See, the same life, the same Jesus, the same God that was there in that resurrection morning, that paid the price back there, that walked among the people and proved his word over and over and over, proving the word for the day. He's the same one that's here today. He's the same one that came on the scene and proved the word for this day. It's being known and made a fact that God and Christ are one. And the Son of Man, paragraph 222, the Son of Man is revealing himself in the same power that he was. Now listen, not down through the church age, no, revealing himself in the same power that he was, and he's not talking about in the church age, because that wasn't the fullness. But back there where it was the fullness, that's how he's revealing himself now. See, not down through the church age through justification and sanctification, all these things here, but the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? The Word. And the Word is quicker than, powerful than, a two-edged sword, and discerns the thoughts that's in the heart. That's right. And when it discerns, it's proving the Word. And what did he have to do? He has to prove that word. What would he do? Notice of it when we see it happening. Look at it. In the same form that he was here in the beginning. The pillar of fire. Proving that he's Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What was it? Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, that was Christ. See? That was in the wilderness with Moses. That's right. How many knows that the Bible said that? Yes, that was Christ. When Paul was speaking here today, you believe that? In the New Testament then, the Son of Man, the same Christ in the last day. See, all right, he's the same, doing the same thing. God don't change. Amen. He doesn't change. Right. His word continually unfolds. He's building a body. He's continually unfolding himself and revealing himself. Amen. And that's the simplicity. I can remember almost 20 years ago trying to preach that first time in Africa, in Kenya. And I didn't know how to say it. And I was struggling to say it. And so, you know, because at that time, it was trying to get people away from that idea that the only thing that Brother Branham can say, or the only thing that was true that Brother Branham said, or the Word of God, was when he said what Paul said. And that, we went through a stage. We went through that in India too, Brother Benjamin and I. And we went through that time where if Paul didn't say it, then it wasn't the Word of God. That was the man. And so if he was saying what the Bible said, or what somebody in the Bible said, then that was God. And so I was trying to show that God was constantly unfolding himself, and that message of one day didn't carry over into another. And so I made this statement, and I wish I could go, you know, sometimes you just make statements, you wish you could take them back, you could go back and fix it. But I said, the way that God is the same is that he's constantly changing. And he's not changing. God doesn't change. But the word is constantly unfolding. It's constantly unfolding. So, you know, you say that you mean it one way, but it can be taken another way. And that's why you have to be careful. Because, and my mind always goes to Ezekiel there, where there was a day where that if somebody did wrong, then they could stone them. They stoned the whole family. But then the prophet speaks a revelation, and the next day, from that, that's completely changed. This is a total opposite. One day, if somebody in your family sins, everybody in your family dies. The next day is if somebody in your family sins, only that person dies. So that was a change. But really, it was just a furtherance of what God was doing. It was a furtherance of the revelation of the character of what God had in his mind. It was a furtherance. And what God was also doing, he was showing the corruptness of man. How that those people, they had come to enjoy that. And even after God said, the soul that sinneth shall die, not the whole family, just that one person, the people remarked and said, this is not fair. They should all die. And God rebuked them. And so it shows man always messes it up.
That's right.
But it was always that way. And it started with Adam. Because as soon as the fall came, immediately they made a religion. And they made their own covering. And they didn't wait for God to cover them. They covered themselves. But the beauty of that is, as soon as they come into the presence of God, remember they had already covered themselves. As soon as they came into the presence of God, they knew they were naked. It goes to show, we know that our religion, our self-covering, our self-made covering is fine. It's okay. It works. Adam and Eve was covered until they got in the presence of God. And then they knew they were naked. And so will we. When we come in the presence of God, we know. If we have made some man-made idea, if we've done put something to it ourselves, that's when we know. See? The Son of Man, the same Christ in the last day, see? John 14:12, the works that I do, shall you do. All these other scriptures, what does he do? He's here now proving it, see? He's proving it. Not Luther's age, not Wesley's age, and not the Pentecostal age, not the Baptist age, not the Presbyterian age. We're right down through it, see? We went right down through it. We've been through all that, it's over. And proved it by history in the Bible. But what? The age of the Son of Man being revealed. And that wasn't in those seven ages. No. To bring these things in to fulfill the word when all must be fulfilled. See? We see it. And it's true. That's right. God, those things closed out. And then there was a message to the bride. There was a catching away of the bride. Praise God. Paragraph 224. And think, by the same methods he did in the first place, see, is not only confirmed among us, but it's confirmed by science. They have to admit it's right. George J. Lacey, the head of the FBI for fingerprint and documents, said, the light struck the lens. I called it psychology myself, but said, Mr. Branham, this camera won't take psychology. It's there. What is it? A testimony. Long years ago, when the pillar of fire was standing there in that bush like a whirlwind speaking, he said, don't you never smoke or drink. There's a work for you when you get older. Not just back in Moses' day, in this day, that same pillar of fire, the same presence of God came and spoke to his prophet. Same, just like he did. Amen. He don't change. He don't change the pattern. He don't change his way. The people said, that boy's gone out of his mind. Mother wanted to call a doctor. I was nervous. But what was it? He settled right down there at the bottom of the river there, at the Ohio River, and said, as John the Baptist was sent to get a people ready for the word to be made manifest, so will your message. Huh? God proving his word. God proving it. And that was God speaking. That this is scripture. Anything that comes out of the mouth of God. You know, in the Bible, when it's Jesus himself speaking, they put it in red. That's what this is. Amen. This was God speaking scripture, prophecy. He was speaking prophecy now because it hadn't happened. It was just beginning, and the people were going to reject it. His pastor was going to reject it. The people were going to laugh at it. They were going to mock it. They were going to make fun. But what God was going to do, he was going to prove it. That's what he was going to do. He was going to prove that these words that were being spoken from his childhood to the river in 1930, God was going to prove it, that it was thus saith the Lord, that it was the scripture for the day. How Dr. Davis and them called me out of my mind, wanted to turn me out of the church because I had disagreed with them on women preachers and all those things that was unscriptural. He said, and you say you're going to preach and cause a revival to strike the world? I said, not me. I didn't say that. Amen. He said it. Right. He said I was going to do it. He said he was going to do it. He said it was going to be done. God said it. He said, Billy, you had a nightmare. I said, I'll give you my card right now. I'm no more of you. He said, you know, and in the beginning of this ages, this age, the 19th century, 1900s coming up, the denominations had become big. And so for you to be a preacher and not have a card to get in a church, that was a big thing. That was a big thing. Because you were out. And now you were going to preach with no affiliation, with no doors were going to be open to you. You simply were just going to go start your own work and preach like that. You didn't have the backing of nobody. He said, I'll give up my card right now. I'm no more of you. He said it. I believe it. And he's proved it. That's the good part. He's proved it. He's proved his word by the word. For he's the word. See? The word does what? Knows the secret of the heart. Is that right? Proves it in Hebrews 13:8. Praise God. Paragraph 230. He will have a bride church ready in the last days. Why? Because he promised it. He promised it and he'll prove it. And God proves his word. And he proves every word. Every word, he proves it. See? He will have a bride church ready in the last days. How's he going to do it, Brother Branham? I don't know. But he said he would, and he'll prove it. Now, how does he prove it? He proves it by bringing it to pass. That's how God proves his word. That's how he's proved it in every age. When he spoke to that prophet on the river there, and that voice, not everybody at the river heard the voice. Yeah. They seen the pillar of fire, they seen the cloud, but they didn't all hear the voice. Only a few, a select few, heard the voice. And so that voice was a prophecy, and that prophet spoke that prophecy to the people to tell the people what God said he's going to do. Now that prophet had to face the ridicule of the unbelievers for years. Just like they booed at Jesus when he said she's asleep. Then every kind of mockery that they could do, they made fun of him. And so did they do to our prophet. They made fun of him in every way. They called him every kind of thing. And they even, because the gift was so great, the manifestation was so great, they produced hypocrisy in great, great high levels to use him and to have him in their meetings and hate him at the same time and work against him and speak against him. But yet, they'd never seen the power of God. And that same thing, those Pharisees and Sadducees, they had never come in the presence of such power, of such supernatural presence of God. So much so that one of their own leaders said, "We know that this has to be from God. Nobody could do what you're doing if God wasn't with them." Everyone, but what was it? We know it was predestined. We know it was that predestinated seed. But every one of those egos, every one of those egos, and all of that jealousy and all of the rest of that wouldn't let them come to it. When they're identifying and they know that it's God, they should have been running to it. They should have gathered the people together and brought the people holy to Jesus Christ. Amen. See, he'll prove it. A called out from all the others. That's right. The speckled bird that's speckled by his blood. See, called out all the rest of the flocks against her. She's despised and rejected. But that speckled bird now, I don't care how much the author wanted to disagree with that. He's mistaken. Remember, what did the bird, the speckled bird was? They'd taken two of them, and one was killed, the mate, and was poured upon the other bird. And it was for a cleansing of leprosy. And the specks of blood cried, "Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord." And that was our mate, Jesus Christ, that was killed. And his blood upon us crying, "Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord." And all the rest of the birds, "I'm glad my name's on her book. Not here on earth, but up there. Not on a goat skin, but on a lamb skin." That's right. There'll be a resurrection of the dead. Listen to this. Listen. There will be a resurrection of the dead. He'll confirm it. That's right. He'll prove it by bringing it to pass. There will be a rapture of the church. How's it going to be? I don't know. But he'll prove it. His word's true. There'll be a millennium. He'll prove it. It's his word. See? There'll be a new heavens and a new earth. He'll prove it because his word said so. See? And only the righteous will be there. He'll prove it too. That's right. Because he's only proven it to the elect. He's only proven it to the predestinated seed that's got eternal life. That's the only ones he's interested in. That's the only ones that are redeemable. That's the only ones that can recognize the presence of God. Amen. See? He'll prove it because he'll prove it too. That's right. Only the ones that's been made part of this word, see, will be their part and their position in this word for their age. Will be the only one will be there. That's right. Because that's just what it is. He's the word. And what is a woman? The image of a man. And what is the church? The image of the word. See? That's exactly. That's right. See? So it'll be there. Just exactly. Only the true believers in his word know this and can believe it. And God helps them to prove it. That's right, that it's true. Only the elect know it. Only the elect can believe it. That's right. God gives them that ability. God gives them that revelation. And God is with them to bring it to manifestation, to prove the word. God is proving his word. Amen. Do you now believe it? Do you believe it? If so, reach out by faith and touch his garment, because he's passing this way. He'll prove he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the world. See? And he's the high priest according to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, that's right. And the 15th verse, he's the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Do you believe that? Reach out and touch the Lord. He's ever present. Lo, I'm with you always. Look down through the ages. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which's good. And now if you belong to a church that don't believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, in the same in every way, get away from it. Prove. 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 Let your life prove that the Word is living in you. Let your life prove that you're living in the presence of Jesus Christ. Let it prove it. That's right. 235. Now we say he's raised from the dead. I didn't say it. The Word here said it. See? He raised from the dead. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe that? He promised these things to happen in the last days. That's right. See? And that the Son of Man will be made manifest. Remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts in Sarah's mind behind him. That was not Jesus. He had not yet been born. See? But it was a man in human flesh that Abraham called him Elohim, the great Almighty. See? Showing what Jesus said, see, as it was in the days of Sodom. Now watch close. In the days of Sodom, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man is being revealed, right? Not no more as a church. Listen now. Not no more the bride is called. See? How? See? In the day when the Son of Man is being revealed, he's not any longer revealing himself as a church. Amen. Think about that. Remember, we read on Wednesday night, the church is finished. What's he saying? What's he saying? He's no longer revealing himself as a church. That's not how he's doing today. Now he's revealing himself in the bride form. He's revealing himself in a completed body. Not in a body that's building and building and building. Not a body that when it got up to the end, put him out. It put him out of the church, put him on the outside, and so he couldn't get back inside. And they declared, after they put him out, they declared that they had everything and that they were fine, they were perfect, they didn't have need of anything, that they were rich and increased with goods, and they didn't know that they were naked and they were miserable and they were blind and all of that. Because they had put him out. They had put him out. And so there had to be a separation. The weed and the tares grew in the church. He was in the church. All through the seven church ages, he was right there in the church. But now the church is finished. And now he's not revealing himself as a church anymore. That's what he's saying. He's no longer revealing himself as a church. See, not no more. The bride is called. Now he's revealing himself as a bride. That's where he's at. That's the body. That's the completed body. That's the perfect body. That's the one with no spot or wrinkle, with no nothing else. Just the perfect bride of Jesus Christ. See? Not no more as a church. See? Not no more. The bride is called. In that day, the Son of Man will be revealed. What? To join the church to the head. Unite the marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this message. Not the Pentecostal. He already told us today, this morning, that All of those messages were finished. The Pentecostal message was finished. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about now the calling of the bride. He's talking about now that Christ himself, we read that Brother Branham made it clear who the messenger was. He said, I'm not the messenger. He's the messenger. He's here bringing his message. He's here. Not me. It's not me. Not anymore. It's not me. It's him. He has come. He has come and he's revealing himself through the revelation of the word that was hidden, that was not written in the Bible, that wasn't to be made known in the seven church ages. Now it's come up into a higher thing. And he has called the bride up. Come up higher. Revelations 4:1. Come up higher. It was an invitation. And the only ones that could hear it, the only ones that heard the invitation, were the ones with the predestinated seed. And he called them and he brought them up. He proved that there was a people on the earth that could hear the voice of God and that could believe it. That's right. Oh my. The bridegroom call will come right through this. When the Son of Man will come down. Huh? The Son of Man. I thought the Son of Man was the prophet. Brother Branham said Son of Man means prophet. So the prophet's on the earth. But this Son of Man he's talking about is going to come down. He's going to come down. And he's going to take over the Son of Man on the earth. This one coming from heaven, he's going to take over this one down here. And he's going to incarnate himself in this vessel. And he's going to begin to call his bride. When the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. The church has to be the Word. He's the Word, and the two unites together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Not a clergyman. Right? Now, to join these two together now, let's read this again. I won't go too fast. And we read a quote like this the other night. She's being caught by the manifestation of the Word, the Spirit is catching her away. See, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Not a clergyman. I don't know. Do you see what I mean? See, it's Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us and will make his word so real that it will unite the church and him as one. Just one. See? The bride. And then she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She's already united. Huh? That's the marriage. She's already united. She's already married. Right here, that new birth makes you and Christ one. Right there. You have joined yourself in marriage. You are dead to every other husband. Now you become one with him. Now you and Christ are one, and now that relationship has begun. And you go now into a spiritual feast, to feast upon the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. She's already united. See, we go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Feel your flesh, see, of all the flesh of mighty men, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. But the rapture is going to the wedding supper when the word here unites with the person and they too become one. And then what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again. Not the church theologians, the Son of Man. See, the word and the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man done, he was the word and the church does the same thing.
Right.
Praise be to God. See, how did he prove himself through the ages? Through the prophets, which could speak the word and know their thoughts. That's how he was known. See? Promised at the church age, come through with not even night or day, but in the evening time, when the Son of Man would be revealed, it would come again. It shall be light at the evening time. See? What does he do? Prove. He proves his word. Praise be to God. I've said it many times, but I just can't. Of all the days that we could live in, you know, we could have lived in the Dark Ages, and they went for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Brother Ram said this will be the shortest age. We got to be here for the climax. We got to be here for the climax. Back there in those Dark Ages, back there in those other ages, they were just wondering, what will it be? Where will it end? What's it all going to amount to? At the end of the day, what will it be? All they seen was that spiritual war. And there's a spiritual war today. We know it's going on. And we see that Satan is doing everything. We see the world falling apart more day by day by day. It's falling apart. But we are blessed to be in this day. And to have the fullness of the revelation, the veil taking off of God, so that we can see Him in His glory, that we can see Him in His power, that we can see Him in the fullness of the promise of this day and of every age. We see it. We look back, we see every bit of it. Every bit of it. Now look back. Did He come as a virgin? Did He come as they said? Through the virgin, rather? Did He come just exactly the way He said? Watch today. He proved His word. Regardless of how many atheists, infidels, indifference, He still come right on. Proved His word. Here we are. Come through this age of all churches and things. Got away like they did from Malachi up to the coming of Christ. All the prophets and things had ceased. They had got into dignitaries and so forth. Just exactly. Look what kind of character He sent. Just exactly like the Elijah. A hater of immoral women. So He put on a lot of paint and powders and makeups and all of that stuff. Clergymen, He slayed them right and left. Oh my, He sure did. I was reading this morning a quote Brother Branham made back in 1960. And he was talking about this Elijah of this day. And he said, I wonder, what will he do? What will be his call? He said, you look when the spirit of Elijah came. There on Elijah or Elisha. And he's saying, all he did was those miracles. All he did was those miracles. And he said he didn't preach. He just did miracles. And said then when the Spirit came on John the Baptist, he didn't do any miracles. He just preached. And he said, I wonder what this one will do. He was talking about Malachi 4. He's talking about the hearts of the children being turned back to the fathers. And he said, what will this one do? We know what he did. He had all of it. Right. He was all of it in one bundle. Amen. He was every gift. He was every ministry. He was everything that God had, all incarnate in a man, mm-hmm. in a man, bringing forth the promise. Right. Praise be to God. Proving the word. The Messiah is on the road. I'll know him when he comes. I'll introduce him. Amen. Don't you begin to think that you belong to this or to that, just the same as Elijah did. See, in the last days it shall come to pass, before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come, that I will send you before the great and terrible day of the Lord. I'll send you Elijah the prophet, and he will restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. That's right. Watch the faith of the fathers to the children, the Jews. See, he said it. You know, there in Malachi, it says it both ways. So when it came from those old, not the apostolic, but from the Old Testament, the Orthodox Jews, so the scripture promised for them to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, to this new apostolic faith, bringing them from the Orthodox idea that they had now to the faith of the children, to this new apostolic faith. But now after 2,000 years, what was children's there is now the fathers. It's 2,000 years of maturing, 2,000 years of coming back to what it was supposed to be. And now it was turning the children of the last age back to the Pentecostal fathers that was poured out there in Paul's day. It was to bring it back to what they had. And it did. And it was finished. And when it was finished, then there was another mighty angel that was going to come down. There was another ministry. There was a ministry of the Son of Man. that God himself was going to come down and speak to the people and prove the word, prove those hidden mysteries, prove those things that was not known by anybody else, prove those things that was for the last days. And we are so, just so blessed. Amen. I want to drop down. I'm kind of closing here. Yeah, I think I'm going to read two more quotes. Paragraph 240. Let us bow our heads a moment, dear God, who brought again our Lord Jesus from the dead to prove your word. Is that right? He died to prove the word. He's alive today and proves your word. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the consummation, proves his word. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it wasn't forever, maybe you might stumble at some of them. I didn't stop to explain it, Lord, but forever, they know, is a space of time. And now, after this age, there won't be any more forever. It'll be eternity after this age. After that seventh age, then she enters into eternity. That's right. And Brother Branham said in Future Home, he said, it don't have anything to do with the literal things, the natural things. No, the bride is entering into eternity by revelation that she has come to the realization that she is sons and daughters of God, and that they were eternal in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. That's how it's always been. From Genesis through the Old Testament through the seven church ages, that's been the reality, but they didn't know it. It hadn't been revealed, and now it's been revealed. Now it has been revealed, and this body of believers on the earth today, they know that they didn't have no beginning and they don't have any ending. Amen. That soul that's on the inside of them, they know they have eternal life. And nothing can touch that. See? There'll be no more forever. It'll be eternity. That's right. So he was the same God that was in Moses and in the prophets. Then he come after a space of time and manned himself, manifested himself as the God prophet. And then we had a space of time, and he comes again, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We think of this, Solomon, in the great millennium of the Jews. Huh? Did Solomon live 1,000 years? No, I don't think so. He's calling that a millennium. We think of this, Solomon, in that great millennium of the Jews. That when no nations dared to touch them, that great gift of God was in the prophet, till he made known to the queen all of her secrets. Nothing was withheld. The great age showing and typing that there was a great age coming. And now, Father, that was you, not Solomon. That was you in Jesus. For he said God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was the beginning of the creation, and his body was the redeemed creation. And now through the ages, the church lost its first love. And now in the last days, you promise to call a little minority, that little flock, at the last days. And he has done it. He has done it, and she is standing in his presence. She has become one with him, and she is manifesting him, and she is impregnated by him. And she is reproducing him as a wife would reproduce her husband. She is reproducing the Lord Jesus Christ, the same life, the same nature, the same promise, the same everything in a body, in the feminine of him today. Amen. We thank him, we praise him, and we know that this is a time We know that he proved himself all the way through. He's been proving himself. But in this day, he's proved himself in the greatest way ever before. Ever before. And, you know, I would have never thought without, I don't think I would have ever thought of it that Brother Branham hadn't mentioned it and said it. But he said, more done in this day, more miracles and things than what you read in the Bible. He said in all of Jesus' ministry and all those different ministries, I think he said the New Testament. I think he said the New Testament. But he more done in this day than any one of those ministries, because this was the last days. And this God was going to, this was the greatest age of deceit, the greatest age of unbelief, the time that it would be the hardest to catch the attention of the people. Because you look at where we're at now. You just look at the whole world and the technology and everything that man has done. It's gone beyond what you could imagine. And God always raises a standard so that his people are without a doubt. They know what is truth. They know the presence of God. They know the word for the age, because they have that ability. God has put within them the ability to hear it and recognize it. And so he comes along and he speaks. And he speaks it and they hear it. He proves it to them that he's here. Amen. Let us stand. we thank God. I'm going to ask Brother Benjamin if he'll come and dismiss us this morning in prayer. And may the Lord bless you, each one. And we're missing Brother Goomba and family today. We know he's working, so we want to remember him in prayer and the family. Brother Benjamin, if you'll come.
It is bore I had for in a few minutes. Thank you, Lord, once again we gather in the little group for worshiping you. We listen to your word. Yes, Lord, this is the truth. It is a revelation. We are privileged people for living this age. Once again, bless the brother Don to reveal the very deeper things in the message. We know the what we are position is there. Yes. Yes, Lord, she is in the well, she is the recognized, is a Messiah. Yes. We the position is the same. Not yesterday, today. But you are everything in your life, the proving the word. Today's last days. You are open all seals to reveal the word of God. Yes, Lord. The spoken word is a real seed of the word. Yes, Lord. Once again, thankful for to privilege to each one to bless them, to gathering to small group of our people. Bless them. And each person to having any problem, bring to be healed and give the comfortableness of everything. Once again, bless the Don and family, give the opportunity, giving the hospitality to me, to protect me, everything to for us. Yeah, asking in the Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.